Joining me now is constitutional attorney John Whitehead. He's argued many cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. He's written many books. And my friends, he was the watchman on the wall decades ago warning about the rise of the police state. In fact, many were waving the flag and cheering on many of the laws that were going into place, thinking that they were being great patriots. In fact, they were cheering things on like the Patriot Act. After we were attacked on 9/11, many people found it their patriotic duty, or at least they felt like it was. They felt like they truly were supporting some kind of patriotism, the protection of America. Well, don't let a good crisis go to waste, and often the globalist manufacturer crisis, to get us to go where they could never get us to go otherwise. So many people cheered a lot of the tyrannical things that were being put into place after 9/11. John Whitehead, he didn't fall for it. In fact, he was writing columns and books warning about the dangers. And he was warning about the rise of a police state. Well, many didn't listen. Well, they're listening now, and many that were not joining him are now joining him in this warning. But he's been leading the way for decades. John Whitehead, welcome back to Brandon House Live.
Hey, thanks for having me on, sir.
Would you like to comment on my introduction? Because that's the truth, isn't it?
Yeah, back in the early days, people were going, what are you talking about, man? And I kept saying, I see things happening here. And I was talking to police officers and stuff. They were warning me, John, something's up. Be careful. And when 80,000 SWAT team raids now occurring across America on a annual basis, up from 3,000 in the 1980s, and, I mean, up to 500 dogs a day are shot. They work really close to the FBI, by the way, which watches everything, okay? The FBI I've been talking about for years, and the FBI supplies the police with all kinds of information, even helping them set up fake websites and stuff to draw people in to commit crimes. And it's a really scary thing when I've had former NSA agents meet with me and other people, maybe I shouldn't have said NSA agents, but foreign intelligence agents have met with me, and they go, it's worse than you think, John. And what we're seeing now with all this, you know, the stuff that's going on in the news with the so-called raid on Mar-a-Lago and all that, we're seeing that, okay, they do those kind of things. Well, they've been doing them for a long time. I've been warning people. They've been doing them a long time. And, I mean, when I'm seeing talk show hosts, okay, call me and say, I couldn't believe it, man. I was on the air, and they said I said the wrong thing. The talk show host goes home, and on his door is a little thing around the doorknob saying, this is the FBI. We're going to be meeting with you soon about your statements. And he contacted me, so I wrote the FBI a real quick letter, you know, bang, email, and said, you want to talk to somebody, you talk to me. They back off. But, you know, I've had veterans contact me saying, whoa, you know, they did a paragraph on just what they did in the service. Nothing secret or anything. And these are decorated army people, you know, and FBI shows up their door and says, you say more stuff like that, we're going to deport you from the country. I've been seeing this stuff for the last 20 years at least. And now it's to the point where, folks, we have a small open window, and I think we can do things. I think we can change things, but we're going to have to get up off our butts and get active in our local governments and get some of these things changed. And, again, the government will not listen to you unless you get together and work together as citizens in this country. And that's what we need. We need some people out here who are willing to get up, stop watching 150 hours of television a month, and just pull back a bit and go down to city council meetings. I mean, I had parents calling me and saying, when they were speaking at city council meetings 3 or 4 months ago, FBI agent met with them. Now, what kind of country do we live in when the government's watching what you're saying, your so-called free speech, and then trying to get you afraid to say things? And but that's going across the board. And there are horror stories out there. They're on our website at Rutherford.org, my book, Battlefield America. I go through some of the cases. It's downright scary. And for some reason, all of a sudden, many Americans across the country, they tell me, I feel like an enemy combatant when the police arrive at their door with an FBI agent, by the way, and try to cart them off in a car to meet and possibly end up in a psychiatric ward or something. It's really crazy. And again, we need to get aware of what's going on. Awareness leads to freedom. Education precedes action. And let's get this stuff stopped. And let's get a free country again. So I'm sorry, folks. I think the free country that I grew up in is slowly dwindling away.
Indeed, indeed. Well, let's start out before we go to an article you've just written called Repression, Terror, Fear, The Government Wants to Silence the Opposition. Before we go to that, brand new article by you dated August 9th. It's just come out. Before that, what are your thoughts on the FBI raid on the home of the 45th president of the United States? I was reading an article today, Mr. Whitehead, that maybe some of it has to do with Operation Hurricane, and that a couple of people are speculating from their sources that President Trump has a lot of information on who did what related to the fake Russia investigation into him. He kept a lot of that information. He has a lot of information, and they were looking for that information. I think a lot of Americans have forgotten that President Trump, did he not sue a bunch of these people under racketeering many months ago? And a long list of people, I think Comey, Brennan, Clapper, all kinds of people, right? And I think I saw, and I have the file tonight, I looked up the docket, June 22nd of this year, Judge Reinhart, the one that signed the, the magistrate that signed onto the raid for the warrant, he recused himself of that case, according to the court docket I looked at this morning, I have a screenshot of, on June 22nd. Well, if you're excusing yourself from that, trial or from that legal process, why are you signing off on a search warrant as a magistrate? So I'm thinking that there may be something to the fact that this whole thing of, he had some documents related to the National Archives he's not supposed to have or blah, blah, blah. That sounds awfully flimsy. Coming out today from some sources is the FBI may have been trying to find information to cover their own legal rear ends. What do you think of this?
If anybody's trying to cover their legal rear ends, it'd be the FBI, which, like I say, has a long history of doing this stuff. And I wouldn't trust a thing they say. The guy who wrote our Bill of Rights, James Madison, said it best. We ought to mistrust all those in power. And don't forget this. There is a deep state, folks. It was revealed by the FBI. It was leaked. They called it the Seventh Floor Group that runs the government. There was a study out of Princeton University and Northwestern University dealing with Harvard that studied where money congregated in the United States. They came to the conclusion it was Washington, D.C., that Washington, D.C. is run by over 500 billionaires that run basically everything in Washington, D.C. If you don't fit into that kind of squat with them, they'll go after you. They'll try to get rid of you. And that's basically what we're seeing across the board today. And I wouldn't trust anything you're hearing of a lot of these news channels and stuff like that, and what's coming out of the government, because as Carl Bernstein showed, the fellow who worked with Bob Woodward in dealing with the Nixon stuff, he, when he started working with mainstream media, he said he was shocked to see that the NSA and FBI and groups like that were actually sitting in the offices of these major news agencies, helping work on the articles and what they were screening and what they were doing on the tube. So we got to really be careful. We've moved into a government that we believe is our government out of Washington, D.C. And I'll say this. I don't think the government in Washington, D.C. is representing us or anybody. No. It's representing themselves. It's the 1% versus the 99%. And ladies and gentlemen, we're the 99%. We're the ones that get in trouble. If you happen to be part of that big percentage and you do something they don't like, they can go after you. And so I'd be very careful, read carefully, come to your own conclusion. Don't believe what the media is telling you, and study these things. And let's start fighting back here. I mean, we've got to get people educated that we're dealing with an entity now out of Washington, D.C. that's run by money. There was also a detailed study on SMU University not too long ago, which said a professor studied where psychopathology congregated in America. He came to the conclusion it was Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is run by psychopaths. That's actually a detailed study. Just think about it for a second. A detailed study where crazy people congregate. It's Washington, D.C. I've seen it. I mean, I've been in the meetings. I've been there. I've sued the President of the United States, won the case, by the way.
Which case was that?
I was Paul Jones' attorney in the Bill Clinton case.
Okay.
over $1 million judgment. He backed off finally when we had all these women lined up. But that's another thing that I've seen in all the sex and stuff that goes on there. It's not a moral place. It's just not that way, folks. Money runs the show there. And I've never seen so much corruption, you know. I mean, think about this. They have over 70 underground facilities across the country. This is all documented. Look up Mount Weather, folks. Washington Post did an expose on them. It's a big, right outside of Washington, D.C., it's like a shopping mall under the ground where all the big shots go and hide in case of emergency. You know something? We're paying for that, but they don't build one for us. We'll get blown away in a nuclear attack. They all go hide. So what I'm trying to tell you is you're not being represented by those people. And I'm warning people, listen, read the Constitution. It starts out with those beautiful words. We the people do ordain and establish this Constitution. We are the government. It's time for us to start acting and saying, get your butts out of there if you're not going to do the right thing and represent us. And all this money they're spending now, I mean, it's amazing. All these new IRS agents that Biden wants and all this money that's being spent. And the government's in over $30 trillion of debt owed mainly to China. Watch out. As Edward Snowden just recently said in an interview, he's shocked at the influence China is having around the world. And China is not a nice place to live. They'll take you away if you say the wrong word.
Yes. Over at worldviewreport.com tonight, I've just put up this article. IRS is hiring new employees, including armed and fit federal agents, quote, willing to use deadly force, end quote. That's a direct quote. And there's a screenshot. Here it is. IRS, major duties. Look at that. Be willing to work 50 plus hours a week. Maybe on the weekends, carry a firearm, be willing to use deadly force if necessary. Be willing to participate in arrest, execution of search warrants, and dangerous assignments. That's your IRS. And they got 87,000 agents they're now going for under the new bill for the Biden regime. That's going to be interesting.
SWAT team raid, exactly. Yeah. And here's the thing. People don't realize the Department of Homeland Security actually acquired 1.6 million hollow point bullets, had them specially made for their federal agents, including the IRS. Now, what in the world? I'm a former military officer, infantry officer. I wasn't allowed to use hollow point bullets. They told me they were immoral, basically, because when they hit on contact, they expand. Martin Luther King had one shot through his head. John F. Kennedy as well, hollow point bullet. John Lennon, the former Beatle, had four put in his chest and killed. Listen, the government's running around with hollow point bullets, IRS SWAT team raids, FBI SWAT team raids, local police SWAT team raids. What in the world? And here's the crazy thing. FBI gives a report saying that the crime in America generally is at the lowest it's been in many, many years. Why they need all the armed agents and SWAT team raids? What do they expect? Are they just paranoid?
Yeah, exactly. Let's go back to your article you just wrote, just came out on the 9th. Repression, terror, fear. The government wants to silence the opposition. Militarized police, you write, riot squads, camouflage gear, black uniforms, armed vehicles, mass arrest, pepper spray, tear gas, batons, strip searches, surveillance cameras, Kevlar vest, drones, lethal weapons, less than lethal weapons unleashed with deadly force, rubber bullets, water cannons, stun guns, arrest of journalists, crowd control tactics, intimidation tactics, brutality, lockdowns. This is not the language of freedom. This is not even the language of law and order. This is the language of force. This is how the government at all levels, federal, state, and local, now responds to those who speak out against the government, corruption, misconduct, and abuse. Let me ask you this. Is it actually now today dangerous to do what you and I do?
I think it can be dangerous, yes. I think that I will say it. As I see all the SWAT team raids, all you got to do is do the wrong thing. Under a red flag gun law, if a neighbor reports you and says, oh, I know this Brandon guy, he has a weapon, and he's a little crazy, you know, I think he needs to be watched. You'll have police probably coming to your door, banging your door in the middle of the night. A lot of people are getting shot because of that. So, yes, they have all kinds of ways. If they want to get rid of you, they can get rid of you today. And it reflects back on the old regimes that I've written about a lot, the fascist regimes, and we're moving in that direction, folks. And sooner or later, it's going to be very difficult. difficult to get anything out of it. Listen, with all the things that I see come out today, political correctness, words you can't say, they're blocking out free speech. They want Americans to be dumbed down and non-thinkers.
Yes.
That is the worst thing in the world, is to have a citizenry that thinks and challenges and goes out on the streets with a picket sign and says, down with this evil government. Which, again, I've defended hundreds of people like that across, you know, my lifetime. And that's what we do at the Rutherford Institute. But, again, it's all documented on our website and the books. I'm telling people, get educated. Education precedes action. And let's turn this country around. We only have, I'd say, a decade or less. The way it's going. With all these armed troops, 175,000 armed federal agents running around the country, with all the armed local police, what did George Washington say? Don't have a standing army on American soil. He warned us, but we didn't listen.
We did not listen. Let me ask you about state rights. I was saying on radio today that we have forgotten many of our governors. I don't even know if a lot of our governors know there's a such thing as the 10th Amendment. The powers the federal government has are limited and expressly unlisted powers belong to the states and respective people thereof. I did hear Carrie Lake, who I got the chance to interview last week in person in Dallas. She said, hey, if I get elected, I'm going to bring back the 10th Amendment. I was glad to see that, and I hope she will do that. I wonder, and I pontificated on radio today, that you know maybe it's time for governors – like the governor of Florida, DeSantis, and a few others, to say to the FBI, you're a lawless, unconstitutional, illegal, tyrannical, insurrective, treasonous group. You got 24 hours to clear out of my state. Anyone left will be arrested. We are a constitutional republic. We are independent, sovereign, constitutional republic state of Florida, and you are lawless, and you have no authority in our state any longer. I don't know if we have to sign an executive order or what, but you're done. You're not acting inside the boundaries of state of Florida anymore. You got 24 hours to get out. When we, the people, created the federal government, we were individual constitutional republics, as you know, and we couldn't even get the Constitution ratified because people were scared of a central government. And then we get these 10 handcuffs, these 10 Bill of Rights, and eventually I'll let you explain to the audience how the legal gymnastics were done to take those 10 handcuffs off the federal government and put them on the under the people, the states, and now they decide, thanks to COVID, when we can go to church, when we can assemble, when we can go to ball game, when we can speak. They get to decide now. Those handcuffs were taken off them, the 10 Bill of Rights, the 10 handcuffs, and put on the states. We have got to have strong governors and attorney generals saying, we created you. We're not your master. We're the master. We created you. We've gotten this thing flipped right upside down.
Yes. That they should be, that they don't see themselves that way. Then they come to the door, and again, we've had many clients that come to the door, they're very authoritarian. They're loaded with their guns, they're black, nice black suits on, FBI agents and other agents. And then you got the ones with the Kevlar outfits on, helmets, the vests, the tanks, and all that, with the flashbang grenades. They have no respect for we, the people. And we've lost that. It's not taught in the schools anymore. Now, the 10th Amendment is very, very important. The 10th Amendment says that local governments can nullify acts of the federal government. And like you said, you can say, get the poop out of my state right now and stay out of here forever. And I'm not putting up with this anymore. If we could get more local people, and that was what early America was about. Local governments govern best. Why? Because they know the people. They deal with the people. When you have agents coming from Washington, D.C., flying to Virginia or somewhere to arrest somebody or conduct a SWAT team raid, they're not seeing that as someone they know or whatever. It's just, again, I've had police officers come to me and say, we're shocked by some of the training we're seeing in the academies. It's like Americans are enemy combatants now. And they need to be taught that we, the people, are the boss and they are our servants. And I used to see on police cars all the time, serve and protect.
Right.
Protect, serve. It's gone away. Why?
Absolutely. How did this, maybe explain in layman terms, how did the legal gymnastics happen that took the handcuffs off the central government and put them onto the states? How did that happen? What language? Was it somehow some kind of twisting of the 14th Amendment, or what was it?
It's just basically what I've seen is how people have been educated and trained. And the more that we've seen with the Facebook and Google and stuff like that, who now work intimately with the government, they're basically educating an entire country that The only way they'll have safety is that the government's got to save them. They can't have weapons. They can't defend themselves. They can't talk back to the government. So they're being trained like that. And that's what's happened. It happened in war. Hitler said it best. So how do you control a country? With chaos and fear. Throw people into fear. You're right about the COVID thing and all the other things we're seeing. And that's exactly, I mean, every time I turn around, I look at something over the horizon. What's coming now? What thing is to scare the people? They want you scared all the time, fearful, and that they'll protect us. The problem is they maybe end up shooting your neighbor tomorrow.
You write in your latest article at Rutherford.org, this is how it begins. We're moving fast toward that slippery slope to an authoritarian society in which only opinions, ideas, and speech expressed are the ones permitted by the government and its corporate cohorts. In the wake of the January 6th riots at the Capitol, quote, domestic terrorism, end quote, has become the new poster child for expanding the government's powers at the expense of civil liberties. Of course, domestic terrorist is just the latest bullseye phrase to be used to interchangeably with anti-government, extremist, and terrorist to describe anyone who might fall somewhere on a very broad spectrum of viewpoints that could be considered dangerous. The unilateral power to muzzle free speech represents a far greater danger than any so-called right or left-wing extremist might pose. The ramifications are so far-reaching as to render almost every American an extremist in word, deed, thought, or by association. Watch and see. We're all about to become enemies of the state. As I make clear in my book, Battlefield America, subtitled The War on the American People, and in its fictional counterpart, The Eric Blair Diaries, anytime you have a government that operates in the shadows, speaks in a language of force, and rules by fiat, you'd better be aware. So what's the answer? For starters, we need to remember that we've all got rights, and we need to exercise them. Most of all, we need to protect the rights of the people to speak truth to power, whatever the truth might be. Either we, the people, believe in free speech, or we don't. And then you quote 50 years ago, Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas asked, quote, since when have we Americans been expected to bow submissively to authority and speak with awe and reverence to those who represent us? The constitutional theory is that we, the people, are the sovereigns. The state and federal officials only are agents. We who have the final word can speak softly or angrily. We can seek to challenge and annoy as we need not to stay docile and quiet. At the constitutional level, speech need not be a sedative. It can be disruptive. A function of free speech under our system of government is to invite dispute. It may indeed best serve its high purpose when it induces a condition of unrest, creates dissatisfaction with conditions as they are, or even stirs people to anger. In other words, and you close it out by saying, in other words, the Constitution does not require Americans to be servile or even civil to government officials. Neither does the Constitution require obedience, although it does insist on nonviolence. Somehow, the government keeps overlooking this important element in the equation. Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah, as long as they can get you afraid and afraid to speak up. Like I say, when I see some of this Department of Homeland Security, when they designate someone an extremist for showing up at a school board meeting, you got to be kidding me. Where it says, or challenges the government on a radio show, I mean, you got to be kidding me. And that's what they're looking at now. So that's where we're headed. We're headed down that tunnel. It's going to get darker and darker where free speech is dead. And they want free speech dead. They want to change the meaning of words, and they want us all bowing before them, the deep state. And the deep state is running things, folks. There's no doubt about that. And they don't really care about you or your rights.
I don't know. Did you see the recent video that Dick Cheney made, the recent ad he did for his daughter Liz that's going viral? Have you seen it?
No, sir.
Oh, wow. He actually comes out and he's, let me just play the first part here. He calls Donald Trump a coward. He just goes after Donald Trump really hard and talks about how Liz is working to defend the country and the Constitution. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, isn't this the Dick Cheney that worked with George W. Bush to do so much against the Constitution?
Cheney was in there with all again the deep state people running everything, the CIA, FBI, and all that stuff. Again, you can't, if it's the government speaking, I tell people, again, what did James Madison say, who wrote a Bill of Rights? We ought to mistrust all those in power. Don't trust people out of Washington D.C. Take over your right. Take over your local state governments. get active in your governments. And I mean, I've had a former couple agents said, John, I'm surprised you're still alive. They actually said, one said it, he walked out of the room and he waved goodbye. And I said, well, listen, would I'd rather just sit on my butt and be a coward, or do I want to get up and say, I'm going to stand up for truth and freedom, and I'm going to help my neighbors. I'm going to have empathy. I'm going to care about my fellow citizens and do my best to get them on the right way and the right path. And that's what we're doing. And it starts with those Bill of Rights. You're talking about that. Well, we give away a free Bill of Rights pamphlet on our website. Get it, folks. And they don't teach it in the schools anymore. I talk to lawyers who can't tell me the five freedoms of the First Amendment. They don't know it. So let's start learning our rights and become those rebels that are willing to go out there and show empathy and love toward our fellow citizens and teach them that they are the government. We, the people, are the government.
They can get that free material at Rutherford.org, plus his great articles, right. Rutherford.org. Okay, before I let you go, let me ask you another question that's all over the place. We were just at CPAC, and one of the groups at CPAC was the Convention of the States. I don't know how you feel about this, but my friend, the late Phyllis Schlafly, I did a lot of interviews with Phyllis, and Phyllis said, I don't see a lot of guys as bright as the Founding Fathers were. Do you really want today's guys rewriting the Constitution? I don't know where you come down on this, Mr. Whitehead, but I'm very concerned about a constitutional convention or a convention of the states and opening it. And I see the talking heads, some of them on Fox News, or people like Sean Hannity or Mark Levin and others, and even some people that I like who I just think are misguided on this one. But I think opening up the Constitution, I mean, we're not honoring what we got now. Why do we need to rewrite it? I think it's very dangerous. What do you say?
I agree. And a lot of those groups are run by... And I've studied this and written on it, powerful money groups, corporations who work with the government that want to rewrite the Constitution. And let me tell you something. The Bill of Rights can save this country if people exercise them. First Amendment, the right to speak and protest. Second Amendment, the right to own a firearm. The Fourth Amendment, the right to keep the government from doing surveillance on you. They're doing all this stuff. You know, go down the list. Learn your rights and exercise them and teach your kids to exercise them. And not become slaves to the system. And they want slaves. That's basically it. They want our money. They want control. And listen, when I see some of the people, like the head of Google, whatever, meeting with people in and out of the White House and just going off and you don't know what they're talking about, that makes me even more distrustful. So watch out, folks. We've moved into a corporate state that cares about money and control and wants you to shut up and go home and watch TV.
Get more information, folks, and get that education, Rutherford.org, Rutherford.org. He's been for decades fighting this, folks. I know that firsthand because we worked with him back in the mid-90s on a case dealing with 59 little 11-year-old girls given forced public exams at school in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, without their parents' permission, or knowledge. And we brought that case to him. We said to those parents, you need to go to John Whitehead. And he took that case and won for them. But he's been doing this for decades, and a lot of that education he's talking about, folks, can be found at Rutherford.org, Rutherford.org. Mr. Whitehead, always an honor to have you with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.